Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday again.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, time goes by. Hotep family.
Time goes by so quickly. It's hard to believe that it's Tuesday again. And we were together every week, and it felt like 2 seconds. And now it's every 2 weeks, and it's still the same 2 seconds. It's crazy.
Time flies when you have
crazy. Absolutely. Well, that's true. You know, I thought it was really important. You know, there's so many things internally and externally that are going on with everybody, and we have a significantly special show. We hope it's special. So I want to introduce the show by playing a song on that I think is really important to what we're doing individually and what we're doing collectively. And also, when you listen to the first part, because I'm going to play the two parts. I'm going to play the interlude, and then I'm going to play the song. When you listen to the first part, I want us to think about this like we're talking to each other. So I'm not going to spoil it, but just imagine if you're talking to each other when this plays. And then we're gonna come back and have a discussion.
You have to come home. We really needed you. You're the king.
But you won't open your eyes. I'm all by my cracking. I see a rook of my body. Tick tock, pretty baby. You can get it back, don't you waste it. Grow from your past, gotta face it. Oh, yeah. You're the king of the kingdom. Keep
is bamboo tree. The eyes might not see the greatness inside you that lies within. Oh yeah, come sit on your drum. You know you not gonna stay down for long. Whenever in doubt, I'm alone. Just remember, you're the king in the kingdom.
Now, if anybody could get what I was saying, you know, every week we talk about amazing things and we talk about current events and things that are going on. But after, you know, I know some of us saw Hidden Colors. Some of us were in Hidden Colors. Some people did not get the opportunity to see it. But, you know, we went as a family to see it. I know, Daddy, you were in Long Island with Mommy on Thursday, and then you went to the UK to premiere it on Friday, or it was, you went on Friday to premiere it over the weekend. And simultaneously, while that happened on Friday, over the weekend, there were two mass shootings in the United States. Not going to go into, you know, too much detail on who did it, but I'm sure we can all... You know, if you don't know about it, just assume that you know who partook in this. But that's beside the point. My point was that I had to literally delete all of my media, delete all of social media. I'm back on Instagram now, but I deleted everything because it was so much. Watching the movie on Friday and then seeing those messages and seeing what happened and seeing that the literal fabric of everything is falling apart. And then, you know, I've been listening. So since I deleted iHeartRadio, so I haven't listened to my beloved Breakfast Club in a while. I heard glimpses of it this morning in the car. But I haven't listened to that. And what I've been doing is listening to music that I choose to listen to. And the Lion King album that Beyonce put together is literally, we've done a song almost every week with it because it's so amazing what she put together. And when I heard that song literally made me feel like there was a message that we need to say to each other. And I think that in watching Hidden Colors and all of the things that you've done, especially as of late, Daddy, have really changed the way that I think about a lot of situations. So I think that it's important to recognize, you know, people like you who don't focus on the anger and don't focus on hate and don't focus on the things that are happening to us, and you focus on the things that we need to do. So I think that, you know, what the song represented was that we are trying to get into a door. And we're using the wrong key in the wrong door, and we don't realize that we are the actual keys to get to where we need to go. So I think that song is really important, and it went along with a lot of what you've done. And anybody that has Facebook and follows our dad on Facebook, if you saw the live that he did in the UK, it was amazing. So definitely after I deleted all my social media, I didn't delete Facebook because it's too difficult to get back onto my phone with the Wi-Fi situation. So I got the opportunity to watch that live, and it was amazing to shut down all of my other media and listen to you talk. And just, you know, I just want you to, you know, talk about the love and the experiences and the greatness that has been going on, you know, since Hidden Colors 5 premiered in New York, it was August 2nd, but the first place, I think it was either it was August 1st or July 31st, but I know it was all around the same time. So I just want us to talk about the progression that's happening and the greatness that we have seen within each other upon listening to, you know, watching the movie or just gathering the fact that we are the key to making it better, and we realize that everybody else around us is crumbling. So that's kind of that was like a one-woman show just now, but, I just wanted to express why I was so interested in playing that song. And we're going to have an amazing song by an amazing artist later, and I'm so happy that I found it. So, but that's for later. I'm stepping off the soapbox now. Are you guys gone?
Yes.
Did you clock out?
We're here.
We just waiting for you to finish. We don't want to interrupt you.
Waiting for me to shut my pothole.
No, but I think you know, with everything that occurred in the past 2 weeks, and I really wanted to do the show last week, but you know, I know we had to give our father a chance to come back and get adjusted to the U.S. You know, considering he was over in the UK for a little bit. But I think it's very important that we look at the meaning behind what these hidden colors are to represent for us. And, you know, I enjoy every one of those documentaries because it brought something different to the table. And a lot of times what we do is we'll watch it, we'll be all in it, and then we forget about it within a week or so. And, you know, I think the importance is, just like in school when you learn, it's not about what you learn, it's about understanding what you're learning and understanding why you're learning it. And I think, you know, a lot of times we just forget the message and we don't really realize what it was trying to represent for us. And I feel like all of those documentaries and everybody that came and presented in those documentaries, I think what they were trying to get across is the fact that we need to realize just how amazing we all are in our own unique ways. And we have to stop trying to be this person that society is telling us to be, and we just need to be who we are, you know, unapologetically, and do no harm to self or others, and just be happy with who we are when we look in the mirror. Because a lot of times we put on this face, we put on this front, and we do things just to go through the motions of it. And I think, you know, we have to really realize why we're doing it. And a lot of what I experience in my career and just in general in life, I feel like a lot of times people they're not in tune with their feelings. They're not in tune with who they are. And then in turn, it's hard to then, you know, be who you want to be because you don't even know what you want to be or who you want to be. And we just a lot of times go on what other people tell us that we need to do and be. And we have to understand what true happiness is. And for me, I feel like in my field of work, you know, I've come across a lot of people where if you ask them what makes them happy, that's a hard question for them.
They can't even tell
happy.
And it's
hard for them. Yeah, because they don't understand. Like, a lot of times people look at the negative. This is making me angry. This is making me upset. You know, and the emotions of it, it's hard to be in tune with your emotions because sometimes I got to step back and say to myself, what am I feeling? Is this anger or is this hurt? Or is this disappointment? Because a lot of times they could be one and the same, and they're very similar in the way in which they have, you know, feelings that you're feeling. They have very similar, you know, reactions to the body. But you have to be in tune and realize that, you know, you have to be happy within yourself, regardless of what society is telling you. And, like, even I was at a funeral today, and, you know, a phone came on, and I was like, it really hit me. And in the song, they were talking about, you know, living the life that you want to live, because tomorrow is not promised to you. And then I said, you know what, like, because there's certain things that really will stop me in my tracks. And I was just like, you know what, that's 100% accurate. Like, and what makes people feel a song is the accuracy of that song and them understanding and, you know, feeling that song. And I was just like, you know, this song is just everything that we have to live by. We have to, in our society, live our best lives and live the lives that we want to live and not what society is telling us to live. And it's very hard nowadays with, you know, the get rich quick of social media, you make the money, being ridiculous, you know, doing the most ridiculous things, wearing the most ridiculous outfits to get attention. Like, even I was listening and it was like every radio station kept playing the whole Nicki Minaj and Joe Budden thing. And I was just in my mind thinking, like,
oh my God.
I was just like, like my husband was listening to, well, you know who he is, but for everybody else, my husband was listening to the podcast, and I said, can we, because he went from like Hot 97 to like 105.1. I said, can we just please just turn this off, because they kept playing the same Nicki Minaj thing, and I was just like, I can't take this no more. I cannot, like, it was an overload of, this is ridiculous. As much as she feels about how she feels and he feels about how he feels, like, just the fact that they're tearing each other down and making a mockery of themselves, like, that is just, to me, we have to uplift. And, you know, just bringing it a full circle, I feel as though, Daddy, I feel like you were a great example of, you don't have to dull anybody else's star to make your star shine brighter.
Yep.
Like, you don't got to bring nobody else down to make us look better than them, because you shine in your own right. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people do that. And regardless of, like, they saying, and it's not even like you're going after the job or you're going after the man or you're going, but what we feel the need to bring each other down instead of uplifting each other, because that's what you have to do in order for you to feel better about yourself. There's people out there that will try to sabotage people and bring people down because that's all they know and that's all they understand. And they're not really realizing the repercussions of now this whole phenomenon about suicide, about, you know, doing it on the internet, letting people watch it, having low self-esteem, cutting yourself, like, over abusing, you know, prescription drugs or misusing prescription drugs. You know, it's a whole huge phenomenon that's out there that people don't realize that they're doing this because they're lacking the ability to cope appropriately. And as individuals, we have to uplift each other. And I feel like the documentary, the movie, The Lion King, I feel like, you know, we have to take from it the best and leave the rest.
Mm-hmm.
We have to uplift each other and continue to uplift each other and have positive messages. And that's my rant for the day.
I want to add one thing to what you said, Candace, about you saying we can't listen to society. We have to be the best that we can be. We have to stop doing it to each other, because a lot of times we think that we know what the best thing is for people to be black and for be a woman, to be a man, for whatever you are. Everybody feels like, you know, I always say when I have conversations with logical people, I say they did this. And they ask me, who is they? And I have no answer. But I do know that I feel like they told me I need to be this way as a black woman. And I think that we need to stop caring even what we think about each other. I think it's really important, exactly what you said. We have to realize that a lot of times we aren't even listening to what society says about us. We're listening to what we say about each other. And it's so unfortunate that we aren't even allowed to be ourselves without being told that we're not black enough or we're not this enough, we're not that enough.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said is exactly what we need to do, and we have to recognize where it's coming from. Because it's not only coming from those outside of our culture. A lot of times it's coming from each other, and it's coming from people that we look to value as leaders in the community and people that are supposed to be representing who we're supposed to be. So I think that that's really important to exactly what you said and recognizing where it's coming from.
Daddy, what you think?
Daddy,
no.
I think I cut you off.
No, it's all right, because, I mean, I think that, you know, what's important and what has always been important for me is to hear from the younger people. And your generation, as I've said over and over again during all of these weeks that we've been broadcasting, is that your generation is the generation that's going to take over from where we leave off. And so it's important that you all situate yourselves in positions of power and to understand the importance of your voice. It's important for people such as myself to understand that I'm at the point where I'm guidance. I'm here to support and to just speak on issues because of the experiences that I've had. And one of the other things that's happened over these past few weeks, as you know, is the completion of my book, Spirituality Before Religion.
Which
and
is amazing.
One of the things, you know, one of the things about the book in its completion, now that I look back and I speak to people who have read it and they give me the impact, is that exactly the purpose is why I wrote the book, have been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is most appreciative. That's what I appreciate the most, because with all that you've said, one of the most important feelings or things that I got from the song that you played was in the beginning, before the music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When she said, I need you, or we need you,
yep.
You're the king.
Mm-hmm.
But you
exactly.
know, that phrase should be what we say to each other, what we say
exactly.
to ourselves in the morning when we wake up.
Exactly.
That each and every one of us needs us. I need me as me.
Mm.
Sasha, you need Sasha. Kandike, you need Kandike.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of being king is not a male representation. It is an energy system that describes the person that's going to lead you during your day.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
And so when people are coming at you telling you who you should be, even if it's your own people telling you who you should be,
wow,
nobody can tell you that. Only you know who you are. Only you know who you should be. But the civilization that we're living in, that has existed, I would say since 1,000 years after the Christian era, after the Africans had gone into Europe and saved them from their own extinction, saved them from the Black Plague, saved them from their diseases, brought foods into Europe that they had never eaten before, showed them how to get on the water and travel, their thanks, after they were taught how to get on the waters and travel, as students of Africans, they then reversed the path, crossed the world starting in 1492, and brought death, mayhem, and havoc to the world.
Mm.
But what's most important is that the DNA, the memories that we have, such as what Beyoncé could do in The Lion King in her song, and what other great performers are doing, that DNA of salvation, understanding that, yeah, it's like this, but what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Okay, so it's like this. Nature is telling us, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit by and just let it happen? You know, in Dante's Inferno, Dr. King often quotes a phrase or a concept out of Dante's Inferno that says that the hottest part of hell is reserved for those who knew better but stood by and watched.
Mm. Wow.
In other words, the hottest part of hell isn't even for the people who are transgressing against society. The hottest part of hell is for those of us who know better but just stood by and let it happen.
Wow. Wow.
And it's up to us to reach deep inside of ourselves and bring out that Savior, bring out that King.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you be male or female, the King is the leader within you. Of course, there is the Queen, who is the feminine principle, but the idea is the metaphor, and not to get caught up in the gender issue. And you see, this is another thing that we get caught up in, because we don't understand that when we talk about male-female, we're talking about an energy system. We're talking about a spiritual system.
Yep.
We're not talking about a man and a woman. It just so happened that that nature split animals in half and made one male and one female in order to procreate. That's one thing. But the idea of male and female is far more than just human beings or rabbits or dogs who come in the male and female form. The idea is to understand what it is that we have to do as a people and not let the outside get in. Because, like I say, the greatest enemy you have is that negative toxicity within you. Everything else is an obstacle. I just got to get over you. It don't make a difference who you are. If you're a problem, you're an obstacle. I don't see you as an enemy. I see you as an obstacle.
Yep.
And it's up to me to do whatever I have to, by any means necessary, to avoid it. And this was the message that I tried to get through spirituality. But the key is that all of this culminated almost at the same time, which for me is so divine. Coming out of doing Race War, coming out of doing Hidden Colors 5, which happened just around the same time, give or take. What balanced me going deep inside of the negativity of what has happened to us as a people, as a human family, what balanced me was writing Spirituality Before Religion. One was the problem, the other was the solution.
Wow. That's
interesting.
And so now that the book is out, those that read it, what you're looking at is my own personal journey. Searching for the Creator. Searching for the answer. Because we talk about it. We talk about it.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about it. And we all send it out, not necessarily in an emotional state, but we say it. We pontificate. But I wanted the scientific evidence of it. I didn't want to believe in the Creator. I didn't want to have faith in the Creator. I wanted to know the Creator. That's just my scorpion nature, I guess. But my thing was, once I began to unfold my investigation, my research, what I was finding out, what I was learning, as I was studying the Shabaka Stone and the Memphite theology and the Pyramid Text, the Coffin Text, the Book of the Coming Forth Today by Night, the Aten Text, this is utterances which in holy books is called scripture. Our ancestors called it utterances because they were words that came from. Not scripture that you write words, but utterances that come from your mouth, which is the eternal voice of the Creator. So even though they were carved on the walls, or on paper, they were considered utterances. They were not called writing. And so these utterances began to describe the Creator before any religion existed. There is a piece in the Pyramid Text in my book where I'm describing a particular utterance carved on the wall, 278, 279. That's the number of the utterance, so to speak. And it speaks about the Pharaoh, or us, after we die, we turn into a bull, Api. And then this bull eats the god. Okay? And now the metaphor is not that you're literally eating the god. The metaphor is that when you ingest divinity, you become divinity. When you drink the blood, it goes through your system and you become divine, like the deity that you have ingested.
That's
it wasn't meant to be taken literal. It wasn't meant to be literal that you're eating the body and drinking the blood of your Savior. That is where the Eucharist came from. That's where the whole Roman Catholic concept of the body and blood of Jesus came from. It came from the walls of the pyramid text. But the interpretation was warped. So what became a metaphor for ingesting the divine became a literal concept that you are eating the body and drinking the blood of your Savior. And in order to play with words, because I'm not mentioning any religions in the book, I am calling what the church calls communion. They call it Holy Communion. I call it common union.
So
that's where the word came from, common union, that on a common level, we as a common spirit and body come together, so it is a common union, not a communion. This is our history. We gave this to them, and they warped it, and they gave it back to us. But because we had some semblance of it, we said, oh, yeah, I can ride with that. I can deal with that. That's what I saw carved on the wall. You know, that's what I saw Ogun and Obatala in West Africa with the Orishas. You have the same type of dynamic. And so this is why The Lion King is only a retelling of the old story that came out of Kemet and West Africa that we call the Osirian drama. And as I spoke to the community in Birmingham in the UK, United Kingdom, I told them, don't worry. Well, I was going to sing it, but I said, no, let me just chill out on that. But I was going to sing a song by Bob Marley, Three Birds, Three Little Birds. Don't worry about a thing. Everything is going to be all right. Mm. It ain't over till we win. We have to understand that it's up to us to make this happen. We are a very unique people who have been placed in hell. And we have been able to climb out of the fiery pits of this thing that they've put us in and continue to try to put us in. And all we got to do is do what we have to do and stop letting outside forces get inside and change the structure of the way in which you're thinking. These folks don't have the power to do this. They don't have that power. The only power they have over you is the fact that you give them that power in your mind.
Exactly.
It's, you know, we just have to realize this at this point in our lives. And when the issue came up with Hidden Colors going to UK and they were banning Tariq Nasheed from going to UK, and they passed the DVD to me to bring.
Craziness.
I never had second thoughts about what was going to happen. I never considered anything other than everything is going to go as supposed to be.
Yeah.
I was concerned, but I wasn't worried. And I asked myself two simple questions. What would Harriet Tubman do? What would she do? Now, if something happened that was threatening on the Underground Railroad, would she decide not to go on the Underground Railroad for fear of what was going to happen? I don't think so. How about Malcolm X? That was my second question. What would Malcolm X do? That's why I did those two DVDs. What would Malcolm X do? What would Malcolm X do? What did they do during their time? Going back into the 1800s, and then coming up here to the civil rights movement with Malcolm X, I had a female and male balance to be able to see what happens in balance between a woman and what a man would do who's dedicated to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was they would keep on keeping on.
Because it,
so
it ain't over till we win.
That's right. That's right. That is the story. And that's what I'm asking our people to think about. What you getting flustered for with all this stuff going on here? What part of this don't you see was only bound to happen? That's why when I did Race War, I said that Cristobal Colon or Christopher Columbus was one side of the bookend and Donald Trump was the other.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment you saw Christopher Columbus, you should have known Trump was coming. And from the moment you, and if that's true, then the moment you see Trump, then you have to understand Christopher Columbus. What part of this don't you understand? What has happened over the past 500 years that surprises you?
I'm surprised you're surprised.
That's it. And that's why Dr. Clark used to always say that, because, you know, like, wait, I hear these conversations on television and they're talking about what's going on and they're asking, why is this happening? Why is this happening? My question is, why isn't it happening? This is what's going on here is only the completion and the end of what began 500 years ago. And we should have a plan as to what we're going to do when this stuff is all gone. Because this is about it right now. This everybody,
and,
you know, and you're seeing what's happening in China. And I've been telling people, everybody talking about how China's going to take over. China not taking over the world. China in trouble, too. China is in as big a trouble. And what's so interesting is that this is like the very forces that came on the world to attempt to destroy the world of color. They now are infighting amongst themselves. This is the reverse Willie Lynn syndrome. The women are fighting the men.
Man.
China is fighting America.
Mm.
The Eurasian Muslims, not the African Muslims, the Eurasian Muslims are fighting the Christians, the Jews, and everybody else. All of this, all of these people that are at war, it ain't got nothing to do with us.
We don't got a dog in this fight.
We ain't got a, that's right. And my mama said, I ain't got a nickel in that dime. And see, we're getting caught up in, like, I think of us when we were on the plantation. And there was intrigue amongst the Europeans who were in so-called big house. And as we were in the field, in our field homes, we watched all the nastiness going on up in the big house. We had no reason. Only the house Negro was worried about what was happening in the house. Because the field Negro, just like Malcolm said. Malcolm told the story. He said,
say that again. I think that might have went over everybody's head. Say that again.
Well, I recommend that you go onto YouTube and get the speech where Malcolm X is talking about the difference between the house Negro and the field Negro.
Woo!
And he was saying that, like, if the master got sick, the house Negro would say, boss, we sick? And the house Negro would worry about the welfare of the slave master. If the house caught on fire, Malcolm said that the house Negro would say, boss, our house on fire. But now go down into the field and listen to what the field Negro said. The field Negro, when the master was sick, the field Negro said, I hope he died. When the house caught on fire, the field Negro would hope a wind would come and blow it so that the whole house went down.
Mm.
And Malcolm was talking about the conditions that we found ourselves in the 60s, in the 50s.
Mm.
And throughout history, he was talking about the difference in terms of the house is on fire right now. What's happening around the world as a metaphor, The house is on fire. They have reaped what they sow. What went around has come around. And now it's time
chickens
for
are coming
us
home to
roost.
That's,
and that's what Malcolm meant. Chickens have come home to roost. And you can see it. It's there. So what we as a people need to do is that we need to get ourselves together so that if that house does burn down, then our field house will become the main house.
Hmm.
Our
there
community.
We go. There
and
we go.
So as we look at this and as we shape our movement forward, it's not about, for me, this is where I'm coming from. I'm an educator. And so I'm coming from the perspective that my contribution to our movement forward is to get a sense of who we are as a people. The book I wrote, Spirituality Before Religion, was meant to assist us in being able to reach back to the beginnings and the origins of spirituality. It is not meant for Christians no longer to be Christians. I do not want Jews or Hebrew Israelites not to be Hebrew Israelites. I don't want Muslims to leave the mosque. What I want them to do is to ground themselves in the African spirituality, because in every one of those holy books, I can find their scripture on the walls,
yes,
in the coffin, or on the paper written by African people, the Kushite.
Yes.
So I'm not putting any religious a book down. I'm not telling anybody to leave their religious organization. I am saying to perfect it and interpret your books on a higher level, which is according to the code of Ma'at. That's my message. I ain't got no religion for you. And that's why I've always stayed away from any type of titles throughout my life. There was a time I wanted to be a priest. There were times that there were folk that said, hey, you need to get into the Kemetic priesthood. Of course, my relationship with the Nation of Islam has always been very close. I've always had a regard and respect for them. And many of them were interested in becoming Muslim. But if I spoke to our people through any one of those denominations, then it would appear that I have something to gain by what I'm saying. So my name is Brother Kaba, not Reverend Kaba, not Imam Kaba, not Rabbi Kaba, it's Brother Kaba. So that I'm coming at you as a brother on the block that has gone through what you've gone through, has found out something. I'd like to share it with you. I'd like to make you think. And that's all. I'm not proselytizing anything. I'm not trying to convert you. I got nothing you to convert to. Except yourself.
Oh my goodness. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't even know how to follow that up. I want to, because I feel like one of the things that you find most important is the connection and the bridge, and this leads into the song that I'm going to play after after we say what we're going to say. I think that one of the things that we're fighting about is younger people, older people, our differences, the things that younger people are trying to do. And I think you mentioned that when we very first started talking tonight about the importance of the younger people stepping up and doing what we need to do. And I think that it's important to recognize the young people that are bridging the gap between the older generation and the younger generation and the people in between. I think that it's really important that we recognize people when they are worthy of being recognized. So I think you said something in the beginning, but if you can just like say a few words on the importance of that, because I feel like that was something that you're very passionate about, especially since you did the message on the saga continues with Wu-Tang. That is something I just felt like what you were just saying, was leading up to that type of discussion.
And, I'm sitting on a rock. When you listen to Message in Wu-Tang Clan, my studio, I wasn't in the studio. I was sitting on a rock in Compton talking to young people. And that's the message. And I think that that's why Brother Mathematics and the other members of Wu-Tang felt that that was so clearly part of what they wanted to include in the saga continue.
Yeah.
And in my research of African communities and the structure of their society, you got to get down to the basic structure of the society.
Mm.
There were different grades. There was the very young. There was the ones that were growing. There was the mature who were working, making the society work. Basically, could be, I mean, I don't want to give exact age, but basically from about 19 and a half to about 65. And then you had the elders.
Mm.
That group that was 19 and a half to 65, who were functioning the society, they were the ones that were the agriculturalists, they were the ones that were the astronomers, they were the ones that were building the society, they were the ones that were building what the society was meant to be. It was the elders that guided them. Because the elders don't have to do the heavy work no more. They did the heavy work when they were 19 and a half to 65. Now 65, you kick back in your chair and you just guide the younger generation that's working to do what you have to do. They also were the ones that stayed with the children. They were the ones that while the 19 and a half to 65 were working, it was the elders that babysat the children. And it was the elders that taught the mores and the values and the principles, the interests of the community and the society that they were living in. And the whole purpose of the function of the 19 and a half to 65 was to build the society in order for the younger people to take it to the next level. Everything was guided and directed towards the young people coming into position. And this is why I've told you and Haru and anyone else, like, it's my job is to make you rise beyond where I was in my life. There's no competition. The idea is for you to do better than me. The African tradition is that the working force is to structure the society in order for the younger people to come into an educational system where they can take it to the next level through their young, new, dynamic thoughts.
And we're doing that, and we don't even realize that we're doing what we're supposed to do.
That's true, except in Western civilization, they are dealing with something known as the Cronus Complex. And the Cronus Complex is the complex that says that that working 19 and a half to 65-year-old group, their thought process is, I am going to do better than my parents, and I'm going to make sure that my children cannot do better than me. And so there is a battle between that age group and the younger people, where the younger people are trying to rise and the older ones are trying to hold them back. And that's the war. My thing is do better than me. My job is to help you do better than me. My job is to like my study guide. My study guide is the collection of all my life's work in an outline form. The books, everything, in spirituality before religion. In the back, I have an entire bibliography of books that you can read where if somebody was able, after all the years of research I've done, to write that book, if somebody could read that book in 2 or 3 days and gain the information it took me years to get, imagine where they could go after they read the book. They could take it to the next level. So this book is not the end all and be all. This book is to make you think. And then through your thought, take it to the next level. Our job is to make sure the younger generation can do better than us. In this civilization, they're doing everything they can to protect themselves.
It was just crazy.
But you see, this is the Cronus complex.
It's the crazy complex.
I don't care what happens to my great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren. I don't care what happens to them. I'm worried about what's going to happen over the next 15 years because I'm 75 years old, so to speak. Let's say they say I'm 75 years old. By the time this stuff hits the fan, I'm going to be dead. So what do I care? I'm looking out for myself.
That's crazy. Well, we need to do like what Beyonce said when she said my great-great-grandchildren are already rich. That's our way of life. But that's the opposite of what you said.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. It is the opposite of what the African tradition is. The African tradition is that the society is structuring itself for the younger people to take it to the next level. And so the care, love, and respect that the community has for the children and the responsibility that they instill in the children is what made the pyramids come into existence, the temples, all the phenomenal things in Africa, the civilization. All of those things came from that dynamic type of structure that everybody understood that when I rise, you rise. This society is when I rise because I'm stepping on your neck. And you
wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Look around.
And that is exactly,
don't believe a word I say. Just look at what's going on.
Yep. And that is exactly why when we were deciding on the second song that we were gonna play, for me, when I first heard this person, I was amazed that I had never heard him before, but I'm so glad that I did. And I think that exactly what you said, because I think he's 21 or 22. And like, I just really want everybody to listen to the words. And after the song is over, I'll say what the name of the album that just came out was. But it literally, you can listen to it from the beginning to the end. And it really does make you, you know, if you didn't have hope for what was going on in society when it comes to music and when it comes to our art and our hip hop, when you see people like this or when you hear people like this, you realize that it is not, our hope is not lost, and everyone is not the same, and everyone is not falling into the trap of just the type of the direction that we're going in. So I just want everybody to listen to the words and to listen to his delivery. And then, you know, it really does give you hope for younger people and for what's going on, even though there's a lot of younger people that we may have some concerns about. When you listen to people like this, you really know that there's hope for what's going on. So I'm going to play that now.
Yeah. God bless the dream chasers. If you got a dream, keep chasing it. Never let nobody hate you out your dreams. You're going to make it. Yeah, I could've died on that pavement. Every time I see my mom, I be like, wait a minute. She know it's something wrong with me, but I don't say shit. And I've been tired of chasing dreams, but I'm gon' chase it. If we ain't never had a shot, how we gon' take it? Success is in my arm reach and I can taste it. In the mansion, I was just down in the basement. They ain't believe in me, but I'm gon' make it. I know how it feels on a late night, swimming with the great whites, drowning in the deep waters. Know you got three daughters, could use some resources. Nah, we just need order. I got my own bad news, fuck a reporter. Niggas ain't even safe, they wanna deport us. I'd rather keep us boxed in on the street corners. If you gon' stop and frisk a nigga, shit, at least warn us. My dog's still on probation, they got a leash on us. Far from stupid, in fact, I'm smarter than Harvard students. Spark the movement and put an end to this garbage music. Got me thinking like this can't be life. Stupid ass niggas voted for the Antichrist. I could've died on that payment. Every time I see my mom, I be like, wait a minute. She know it's something wrong with me, but I don't say shit. And I've been tired of chasing dreams, but I'm gon' chase it. So we ain't never had a shot, how we gon' take it? Success is in my arm reach and I can taste it. In the mansion, I was just down in the basement. They ain't believe in me, but I'm gon' make it. Yeah, it was hell here. My people killing in the swell here. Got my mama black card and she was just on welfare. That's ghost. Did it on my own, I got myself here. When God asked me, do I want this shit? I said, hell yeah, I'm ready. When I put the crown on, it was heavy. I was drowning in my past like when Katrina brought the levees in New Orleans. In my city, to them kids, I'm like Jordan. Every move I made like chess, it's important. I just went against the system, spending nights trying to reform it. Late night thinking, I could lose my life just from doing this. It's a sacrifice, I know it won't be right if I forfeit. But I do it for the young kings that never had no voices, for real. I could've died on that payment. Every time I see my mom, I be like, wait a minute. She know it's something wrong with me, but I don't say shit. And I've been tired of chasing dreams, but I'm gon' chase it. If we ain't never had a shot, how we gon' take it? Success is in my arm reach and I can taste it. In the mansion, I was just down in the basement. They ain't believe in me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it.
Okay, I reminisce the cold days in wintertime. Got home by dinner time. 7-Eleven runs, Gatorade flavor, lemon lime. Hot Cheetos, Arizona's oranges, clementine. The first job I ever applied for was Finish Line. Sometime a nigga be forgetting, then remember I'm savior of the rap shit, the leader of the renaissance. Self-appointed, well-anointed for my endeavors. I'm iron cheddar, applying pressure to find setups. The rap game is based upon what niggas lying better. If truth is told, then you can grow and die. You never know, I'm everlasting. Better grasping this thing in life. I heard me hook and I told him to sing it twice.
I
could have
died on that payment. Every time I see my mom, I be like, wait a minute. She know it's something wrong with me, but I don't say shit. And I've been tired of chasing dreams, but I'm gon' chase it. So we ain't never had a shot, how we gon' take it? Success is in my arm reach and I can taste it. In the mansion, I was just down in the basement. They ain't believe in me, but I'm gon' make it.
So it was Meek Mill, and I don't want to say his name, but I think it's, I don't want to say it wrong, YBN Cordae. I don't know if it's Cordae or Cordae, but Meek Mill was the second verse, and YBN Cordae was the first verse, and that verse was the verse he did in the BET Awards with her. And I was so excited when I found it, because I was like, I wish they would have done that song together. I didn't realize it was two different songs, but her song is amazing by itself, and his song is amazing by itself. I just wish that they would have put it together. But I didn't realize, when you watch him on the BET Awards, you can tell he's young. He's like, I can't remember if he's 21 or 22, but he's so young. But he speaks in a way, and he wants to bridge the gap between younger artists and older artists and still have respect and just be better. So I think it's really important that we recognize people, because we always recognize the people that are not doing well, they're not doing good in the world. And I think it's really important that we recognize the people that are doing well. His album is called The Lost Boy, and it's really good. And if you can listen to every single song on there. There's only one that's a little hard for my ears, and I'm like, oh goodness, oh maybe not. But every song on there is enjoyable, and it's definitely worth listening. And he's still a relatively new artist, but he is one that I pray stays around for a long time. And I don't like doing this because I like people to be the first of themselves, but he reminds me of J. Cole in the way that he performs and the things that he talks about and just the representation of what he wants to be in the world. But he still is his own person. But just the way I feel about certain things, that you don't have to do anything but just speak your truth. You don't have to try to be something that you're not. You don't have to try to be somebody that you're not. You just speak your truth. And I really, like, I'm honored to even be able to be part of something that can show people something that maybe they haven't heard it. Some people might have heard it, some people might not have. But I'm honored to be part of something that we can you know, share things that we find to be good with people that we care about.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's important that, you know, we hear these situations. We see that the youth are moving forward and doing better, and not just hearing, mm-hmm. like, the stuff that we normally hear, you just have to shake your head. You know, we have to have hope in the future. And we have to continue to have hope in the future. And we, you know, even if they lose track of what was instilled in us and what society is not instilling in people nowadays, we can't give up on the youth. And we have to just, you know, remind them of, you know, why it is, why you need to do this, why you need to do that, you know, instead of just telling them, no, you need to do this or you need to do that, we need to tell them why it's important. And, you know, we have to, and then the youth have to have that blind trust in us that we're not always going to understand why we shouldn't do this or why we should do that, but we have to make sure that the youth, you know, trust that we're going to lead them in the correct direction and, you know, do no harm. And that's hard. It's very hard because nowadays you see youth and they don't trust in the adults because the adults have done them so wrong. And then it becomes a vicious cycle. So we just have to make sure. Oh, go ahead, Eddie.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say we just have to, you know, with the ever-changing, we have to listen to the youth. The youth can, you know, teach us a lot of things that we may not normally. We get so slighted and we get so accustomed to, you know, society and the norms, and then they come with a new mind and a new, you know, thought process, and we have to listen to them just like they have to listen to us. And it's the betterment, and it's to do no harm. And it's to, you know, ensure that we're creating something bigger and better than us. Because we only have one life to live. We're only here for but so long. That why are we making it such a hard situation? Why are we, you know, not doing it the easy way? This is the hard way. It's hard to, you know, it would be easier if everybody got along. It's harder when people have to fuss and fight and, you know, hate on each other and not appreciate. There's enough out there for everybody to win.
Having spent my life around children throughout my career, it gave me an opportunity to see them, to see us. I stayed in the same community all of my career, South Central Bronx, District 9. I stayed there the entire extent of my career, 31 years. And along with teaching college. And in the community.
New Paltz.
Yeah, New Paltz. Phenomenal experience. I still have Facebook friends that are my students. They reach out to me, very successful. And the things that they tell me, the things that students tell me, and here's what, when I speak to people that are in my age group, some a little bit younger than myself, some maybe a little bit older than myself, is that one of the worst things that can happen is to mature and forget what it was like to be a child. Because I know what it was like for me. I know what I experienced, the ups, the downs. And I know that all I needed was somebody who had a steady voice. I was blessed to have the parents that I had, steady voice. And I was blessed to come in contact with family and friends. And this is why when I see what's happening to our brothers and sisters who are of Spanish-speaking descent in the southern border, having studied in Mexico with Dr. Van Sertima, I saw black people in Mexico. We went to two different towns. One of them was called Quahini Qualapa. That was an African town of African people who spoke Spanish. And they welcomed us. They invited us to lunch. They sang their national anthem as we sang Lift Every Voice and Sing.
So that's what we do.
I don't separate myself from our brothers and sisters
from Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic or Cuba or Jamaica or Haiti. We're all one people. And in South Central Bronx, where we had 68 different language groups in my district. We had people from Sri Lanka. We had people that were from India, Pakistan, Vietnam, Korea, China. Every island, English, Spanish, French, Dutch-speaking island. African-American from North Carolina, South Carolina. And there in South Central Bronx, we developed a cultural program. And I got a feel for what's going on. And as I watch what's happening on the border and the atrocities that are going on, I just want to ask somebody, do you think African Americans don't know what that feels like? Do you think we don't know what it's like to be separated from our family, to be put in cages?
Exactly.
Do you think we don't know what that feels like? If anyone in America could tell that story,
yep.
I'm telling black folk, we need to set up consulting agencies to help people understand exactly what's going on in America. We live that. You talking about coming up into our community and shooting us up? You think we don't know what the Klan did? You don't think we don't know what happened when we were in the field working and folk just for fun came and shot us up? But the difference is that it is illegal now. It was legal back then. You had no redress.
Wow.
You there was no one we could talk to. In fact, the people we would talk to would probably kill us. So you think we don't know what's going on in America today? Do you think we think that anything is different? Everybody talking about we're regressing. No, we're not. This is how we've always been. It's just that now there's a desperation because they realize that within the next 30 years, white folk are going to be the minority in America. And they're doing everything they can to delay that so that at least they can live and die and not be impacted by the world of
color.
That's
that syndrome you talk. That's that syndrome that you were just talking about.
Which one is that? Which syndrome? Oh, yeah. The Cronus complex. Cronus, I think it's spelled, Cronus. It basically comes from a Greek concept that is blended with the Roman concept. And so, we have to get ourselves together. We have to get to the point where we understand if it is to be, it's up to me. That's the bottom line. And that's how we have to start looking at this as we move forward. Because 3 out of 100 with respect to all that is there. Our young people are ready. Everywhere I go and I visit and I talk to young people, and I've done this in various places that I've visited. The children are ready. The children are searching for that stability, that stable voice that is telling them what's going on realistically, but also infusing a sense of inner hope within you that you will achieve what you will and that nobody out there is going to stop you. Nobody's going to stop you. The only person that stops you is you.
That's it.
And that's what Marcus Garvey meant when he said that, up you mighty race, you will accomplish
what you will. No justice.
In the sense of, no peace. But isn't that what goes on inside of us? Isn't it when we do not have justice within us, we have no peace? That's what creates depression and sadness. Self-doubt. No justice. Ma'at is justice. No justice. Truth, righteousness, reciprocity. Those are the characteristics of Ma'at. Justice. Honor, no justice, and I'm talking about inside of you. If there is no justice, if there is no harmony, righteousness, there will be no peace.
Absolutely.
You'll always be searching. Unfortunately, because there's no justice, you'll be searching in all the wrong places. Once you come to be in peace with yourself, once you come to love yourself and respect yourself, once you come to understand that your complexion is beautiful, your hair texture is beautiful, your nose is just the right size because you can breathe, and your lips and your tongue are just the right size because you can talk.
Yeah.
Everything about you is beautiful. You are the creator's statement for whoever you are, however you look. Love that. And stop trying to be somebody that you're not. Just be you. The market has everybody trying to be something that they're not. If you're too heavy, they tell you you need to lose weight. If you're too skinny, they tell you that they have weight gaining pills for you. If you're losing your hair, they have ways you can put hair.
And they're doing it for a reason, because they're gaining from it. They're gaining money. They're gaining notoriety.
They're gaining something from it.
So it's like we have to stop listening to what people say, because at the end of the day, you're beautiful, and you have to realize you're beautiful no matter what you do. Because if you don't believe that, you'll keep chasing, and you'll be chasing for a long time. Because you'll never get to that point where you feel like you are beautiful enough.
And that is what they do. This is what the system does to you. It makes you want to chase. Even women of European descent, women of European descent spend more money on being blonde than black women spend on eating.
Wow. That's a word.
This is reality. Nobody wants to be who they are. Even all of the models and people that are on these front covers, they say there's so much makeup work that's been put on them and so much Photoshop that's been put on the photo. They wish they looked the way that picture looked.
Exactly.
They don't even look like that. And then there are some of us looking at that picture, being influenced, and I understand young people. I was once there. I understand the temptation and the desire when you're growing up, you're searching for your personhood. And all these people in front of you. See, fortunately for me, the people in front of me was Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Adam Clayton Powell and Fannie Lou Hamer. You see, we had sports stars. Yeah, we did. Of course, Muhammad Ali. We had sports stars, and we had entertainers, actors, Sidney Poitier. You know, in my lifetime was the first time that two black people were allowed to kiss on TV.
That's crazy.
It was the first time that we ever saw a black person kiss. I remember when Sidney Poitier kissed the European-American actress in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Rashad.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but they wouldn't show you the scene. What they showed you was the taxi driver looking in his rearview mirror, and that's how you saw them kiss.
Wow.
Was through the rearview mirror.
Wow.
And that was revolutionary. I'm telling you about my time now. So you can see how far we've come. We have made gains, not because of them, but because of us. I do respect those that fought for us, because there's a lot of folk of different cultures that stood with us, risked their lives for what they believed in. Kudos to them. Respect to them. So I don't lose sight of that. But wasn't many of them. And it was we who started the movement. But with respect to those who have.
As usual.
And a lot of times when you see these movies, they try to get you to think that it was people of other cultures that were the real heroes of the story. No, they weren't. They were heroes, but not of the story.
They even tried that in Black Panther.
Say again?
They tried that in Black Panther, too.
Yeah. But you see, if you understand them, then you understand why they're doing it. Because they got to be a part of everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they have to see themselves as the hero of all things. And I understand that because that comes from the fragility that they suffer from.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just have to realize that this is just a moment in time that we're experiencing. For those that remember having lived through Ronald Reagan, my goodness. Tapes just come out where he on the phone talking to Richard Nixon, calling black African monkey.
Yep. Yep, I heard that. Okay. I saw that.
And then Richard Nixon calling them cannibals.
The nerve.
And yet we deify. I hear Joseph Biden now. I ain't got no problem with it, you know. But I heard him say he made a comparison of Donald Trump between being George Wallace and George Washington. Okay, George Wallace was the arch segregationist, racist.
Mm.
That was George Wallace. That was in my time. Not a good person. But he didn't own slaves. He didn't own Africans.
Mm.
George Washington did.
Mm.
So both examples for a black man, neither one of them meant me any good. So I don't want
exactly.
to, you know, so the comparison that you, but see, in their minds, George Washington is their forefather. He's the man that laid down the nation. So to them, he's a hero.
Yep.
But to me, he held over 300 Africans against their will in slaves.
He wasn't even the first. It wasn't even the first president.
No, he wasn't. But he was the first voted by the the Continental Congress. They had people that led the country, but they really didn't lead the country. But they were cited after the American Revolution, because you can tell, because when did the American Revolution end, and when did George Washington become president? You'll see that there's a gap there. So you have to ask yourself, well, who was the president during those years? And so they had different people that would take hold of the government. And very few people talk about this. And this is why America is ignorant. And, you know, the other thing about going to the UK is when you watch the news abroad, it's very different from what you watch in America. Ain't nobody talking about Trump over there. And when they do talk about him, my goodness gracious.
Mm.
And what they say about America, not in a derogatory way, but they want to know what is wrong with you. What could ever allow you to do this? To elect a man that conducts himself like this?
Mm. We deserve
what he does. And they say, you know, how could you do this? And so the idea that I see is we just have to do this ourselves. We know what's going on out there. We know what the problems and challenges are. So we got to do something about it. And my step, my first step is education. That's what my lane is.
And that's
is education.
And that's an important step.
Yeah. And economy is too.
And that's
where you are. Sasha, where you are.
Oh,
economy. You know,
oh,
understand
know.
What I have learned from you in what we've been doing over time in terms of understanding concepts of wealth and what's out there. It's invaluable for the community to understand that, because that's not going away anytime soon. Wall Street ain't going away anytime soon. Stocks are not
that's
going
true.
Away. Money is not going away anytime soon. So if we're going to celebrate in the present, we better learn how to manipulate the system in our favor. And for you, Kandike,
that's true.
We all need counsel.
Mm-hmm.
We need counseling. We need to sit and
talk
to people. And you see, I know that your mother and I brought you all up a certain way with values and integrity, and that there are things that no matter what they offer you, you will not go against your morals, your center code.
Yep.
And when you are in banking, it is immoral.
Listen. You don't even, immoral is a mild term for what I go through on a daily basis.
That's it. But that's
you gotta banking. Have eyes on the back of your head, on your shoulders, on your feet.
That's it. That's banking. That is the world of banking. So how do you manipulate it? How can our community learn how to manipulate it so that even whatever they may have, they can invest it and be able to take it to a certain level? What does investment mean? Yep. Where does it go? How does it, you know, when I look at what my return is when I'm investing it, and then when I look at my savings account, when I look at how much I've made in my savings account after how much I have bank in my, there's no comparison.
No comparison.
So here we are saving this money in the bank, thinking that it's all good, not realizing your money, and then to think what they do with your money and how much money they
and
make on your money.
Exactly. If people knew, they would be shocked.
We don't get, but see, we need people, sophisticated people, moral people, Ma'atian people, because ain't nothing wrong with money. The richest people in the world come from Africa. The richest people in history have come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We like good clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We like good food. We like good party to dance,
nice
to celebrate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We love it. We love it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a poverty mentality that we have, that in order for us to be right, we got to be poor. And I don't accept that anymore.
Yes.
We have got to be able to, what my man Jay-Z say, the only one thing better than one black billionaire is two black billionaires.
especially when they're from the same hue as you. Especially
that's
when they're
what
from
I
the
like.
Same hue as you.
That's it. I like it because this is how we have to start thinking. We have to break through this.
Yep.
And Conde K, you know we need counseling. And the morals and integrity that you bring to your job, and those that do not carry that same morality and integrity with them as you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are trying to help people, and the people that need the most help are the people that have been assigned to help people.
Yep.
How are you going to help me when you need more help than me?
Exactly. Yep. How are you going to help me when you can't help yourself?
That's it.
Yep.
How you got ideas about what's good with me, and you don't know what's good with you? You have to be example. So when you go in there with your smiles and with your good mornings, and you're leading by example, you are showing what your counseling that you have done for you can do for them. So when people see you up and bright and working and smiling and overcoming challenges, they say to themselves, well, I like her. I like where she's coming from. What's in her tea? What about her? But you
that's
lead
not
by example.
Coffee, is it?
No, it's not. That's chai tea.
That's right, because Canada don't drink coffee. She only drinks tea.
There we go. And that's that chai tea. You know I like that chai tea.
There we go.
Oh,
but you lead by example. You lead by example. Whatever it is. I get so excited when I learn something new. I get so excited when I'm learning something. And so for young people looking at me where I am, excited that they just taught me something, he lets them know, wow, education is good. He's happy. So if knowledge makes him happy, knowledge may make me happy. You lead by example. In whatever area you are, you lead by your example. Whatever you are, whether you are a social worker, whether you are a banker, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a bus driver, whatever it is that you do, what you do brings you happiness. And if it brings you happiness, then other people will see that. And this is where we are. We're doing things that we don't want to do. We're not in our divine groove, so to speak. But once we get there,
that works. That is very true. And you can feel it.
Get it together.
You can feel it when you're not there.
Yeah, and it's happening. And young people are ready. They're ready. Question is, are we?
Mm. Well, you know that.
Well, on that note,
exactly what you said is exactly why the name of today's episode is Legacy. We're part of something way bigger now. I really like. I know that I played it already in a previous week, but I really there was a time when I first realized what this song was about that I had this song on repeat, and I listen to it now, even still, since I deleted the iHeartRadio. I listened. This is one of the first songs that I listen to in the morning when I wake up. Unless it's something I really was excited about the day before, then I'll listen to that. But this song is the song that I listen to every morning because it sometimes it's very frustrating when I feel like what I'm doing doesn't matter and what I say doesn't matter. But when I think about who our Father is and the representation that He has in the world and the legacy that He's leaving for us, I realize that my sister, my brother, my son, our family, we're all part of something way bigger than we realize, and I think it's really important. So if nobody has anything else to say, I'm going to play this song so that we can end it righteously, the way that we came in.
There we go.
We all good
well,
to play the song?
We all
hope
good. Hope you family.
Great week.
See you next time.
All right.
Next time.
Feel insignificant, you better think again. Better wake up because you're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. Not just a speck in the universe, not just some words in a Bible verse. You are the living word. Ah, you're part of something way bigger. Bigger than you, bigger than we. Bigger than the picture they framed us to see. But now we see it. It ain't no secret, no. Understand the truth about that question in your soul. Look up, don't look down, then watch the answers unfold. Life is your birthright, say he's dead in a fine print. Take the pen and rewrite it. Step out your estimate. Step in your wisdom and know that you're excellent, right? Spirit is teaching, no, I'm not just preaching. I'm taking my own advice. Let mama let you know. Mama's still trying, I can't get no days off. I don't get no days off, truly I'm feeling it. I had to say that thing twice. Trying to be a good wife. Still really hard, I can't lie. But I promised you I would fight, so I fight. If you're feeling frustrated, you're thinking I'm jumping it. Forgiveness is key because we're fighting something way bigger. You never lose, we are winners. I'll be the root, you'll be the tree. That's on the fruit that was given to me. Legacy, we're part of something way bigger. Picture they framed us to see. Legacy, oh, you're part of something way bigger. Let love be the water I pour into you and you pour into me. There ain't no drought here, blooming through our actual power. I'll be a sanctuary, you just don't know yet. You just don't know yet. No matter how hard it gets, you got my blood in you, and you're gonna run. Again, better wake up because you're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. I'll be the root. You be the tree, pass on the fruit that was given to me. Legacy, we're part of something way bigger.